Okay, welcome to the latest episode of the Fuck Off Everton podcast with me and Bill. It's been a while. We've had a summer of international football and back to Premier League football at the weekend. Disappointing start for us, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, looking back on the game, I mean, sort of everything that could go wrong did go wrong for us, didn't it, really? I mean, like you said, we started quite well at first 20. Thought Harrison looked pretty decent. Irabunum looked pretty decent. But same old story, really. Couldn't take our chances, could we? And then... No.
Couple of stupid individual errors.
Yeah, Minter sort of doing Mikulenko a little bit. And then Mitoma scores. And then it was a calamity of errors, really, wasn't it, after that, really? I mean, I suppose we need to start with the team sheet. I mean, I know that we're going to go on to this, but there has been a bit of an overreaction, I do agree. I mean, I think some of it is frustration. We've had 3 or 4 years of struggle, and people... I suppose it does need to be a bit of realism, though, because the club is where it is because of the financial problems off the field. And Dyche has done well, I think, to cut his cloth and create a team that like can grind out points. But I think I'm not entirely convinced our pre-seasons are the best. Because this is the second season, or probably multiple seasons, actually, where we've started. I mean, I know it's only one game, but we did have last season as well, where we started slowly. And then it comes to the second issue. A lot of people are saying, you know, the team selection. I can kind of get a lot of the team selection. You're like, Young, he can't, there's nothing he can do because of the rest of the fullbacks are injured. The right backs are injured. And he trusts Keane. But I suppose I would, the flip side of that is at the beginning of a season, fans want something to like get excited about, don't they? They want some hope. And unfortunately, because he's picked more or less the same team apart from Irabunum that we saw last season, it gives you that kind of like, oh, here we go again feeling. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'll go back to the match now, but I'm just saying, I can see both sides of it, and I can get the frustration, but also it is only one game.
Yeah,
and
well,
we do have to remember what Dyche has done as a manager for us as well. So I can see both sides, you know.
As you say, I mean, as you know, I've got, I do sort of want to come back on that, if you'll sort of indulge me for a couple of minutes about the criticisms that have largely been directed at Dyche, not just the team, but sort of directly at Dyche. But I mean, the criticism that he's only played one of the new signings, you know, these players have got very limited experience overall and in the Premier League. And in O'Brien and Irabunum's case, they're very young. I don't see the need to throw them all in just because they're in the squad. And there's also the issue, you know, loyalty to players who've got us to this point and have done a job for him. And you know, Harrison, you know, he's struggled at times, but his work rate and attitudes, I think, earn him the right to be the starting player. And then it's up to the others to dislodge him. And, you know, they'll get plenty of opportunities to do so. But I think it's right to reward those players who've already done the work for them to continue and be sort of the incumbents in the role. And same, even with Decore, he's, you know, he's a very limited player. We know that. And clearly, we need to move away from just having runners and grafters in the squad and replace them gradually with more quality. But again, he's been crucial to us surviving the last couple of seasons. He's played his part and deserves the likes of Decore and Harrison, you know, the loyalty to players. But the other sort of trope that gets rolled out about Dyche is that he persists with certain players, this stubborn insistence. And I'm saying that in inverted commas because, you know, as you sort of alluded to, everyone's saying, why is he playing Ashley Young? We shouldn't be playing Ashley Young. There's no other option. We've got three right backs at the club. Two of them are injured. So we've got no option but to start with him. We all know he shouldn't be a regular starter. He knows that he shouldn't be a regular starter. He will only be a squad player just to provide cover when needed. Ideally, he won't be playing more than, you know, 10, 12 games over the course of a season, but the situation is what it is. he's the only fit right back we had. So there was no option to start him. I mean, I saw some people arguing that we should have started Ramon Dixon, which is just fucking ludicrous. I mean, we know Matoma is one of the best wingers in the Premier League, and he's going to give any fullback a torrid time. But who would you rather see be given a torrid time? A kid who hasn't even played yet. And a game like that, you know, getting run ragged by one of the best wingers in the league can be seriously damaging to your development. Would you rather see that being done or see a seasoned pro who's towards the end of his career and has been there, seen it, done it, had great games, bad games, and he can take it, you know, because he's got the experience. And it doesn't really matter if he gets run ragged. But it does matter if someone like Ramon Dixon comes in and gets absolutely fucking torn apart, humiliated potentially on his debut. It's just a ludicrous suggestion that he should have been starting.
I don't agree with that, really. He hasn't started one match, has he? He hasn't had any minutes. I think that is quite a stretch. I suppose the one that does stick in people's craw is Keane.
Well, that's what O'Brien. I was going to come to as well. Yeah,
and I'll tell you what I think. Go on.
The idea he persists with Keane. I mean, first of all, he actually played okay on Saturday. He didn't really do much wrong at all. You know, he was solid enough defensively. His distribution was pretty good, better than we would normally expect from him. You know, decent all-round display, but this idea that he persists with him and is stubborn about playing him. I mean, after the first two games of last season, he played a grand total of 258 minutes the entire season. That's less than three games over the course of an entire league season. And that's going to be the case again. You know, once Branthwaite is fit, he's going to be straight back in there. We all know that. And then once he's got his first choice of Tarkowski and Branthwaite, the focus will probably shift towards bringing O'Brien in where possible, building up his minutes and experience. And Keane will just be that fourth choice cover, maybe playing League Cup and things like that, just there when needed. It's just, I think it's got to the point, like the sort of weight of the reaction to things like this. I think it's like confirmation bias now with some Evertonians, and because they don't like Dyche for whatever reason, and the slightest thing that goes wrong, you know, they're straight onto these tropes that get referred to all the time, and it's getting a bit fucking tiresome to me, you know. And I mean, it's one game.
It is overreaction. I just think a lot of it comes from the fact that we've had three or four horrible years, you know.
Which would have been more horrible if it
Sean Dyche.
We would have been starting our second season.
I'm quite ambivalent about Sean Dyche. I'm not like I love him. I'm not like I hate him. I am just like literally, I think he's probably like the best manager for the position we're in. You know, because he is able to cut his cloth accordingly. He's able to work with limited players. He's able to put a system together that makes us hard to beat and grind out points. It's not pretty, but he's able to do all those things, and that makes sense.
Yeah, that's another trope about him, is that he played negative football. I mean,
well, I didn't say he played negative football. I said it's not pretty, and you've got to admit, it's quite functional at times.
You necessarily. I'm just saying that. You know, the chatter about him in...
He's a long ball, dinosaur, all that, yeah.
I don't think it's fair, these things that go...
No, and I actually think, to be fair, like, when we got him, I was worried we were just going to be long ball. And to be fair, I've actually seen us play some decent football at times, you know. And we are actually quite good. When we're, like, fully on it, and we're good at pressing, we are actually a good team, you know. And we've got our full team out there. Yeah. I think that's the key, really, is that without Branthwaite and that mobility at the back, we really are lacking. And we can't step up that few yards, can we? Because we'll get caught out, you know.
Yeah, especially against someone like Brighton.
Yeah, who've got like really real threat, like the three or four players who are just rapid, you know. But I think a lot of it stems from frustration. I suppose I do see the argument on all of those players of why they didn't start, and I also think that not just throwing somebody in is a good idea. But I also think sometimes you could, especially when we were two down. I mean, we'll go back to the match here now.
Go on.
I mean, so you had the second goal, didn't you, as well? What did you make of that? I mean, sort of...
Well, just giving the ball away.
Yeah.
An individual moment of stupidity, wasn't it?
And then the back four sort of backing off, really, almost.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, as soon as you lose the ball in those positions, you're vulnerable. In trouble, aren't you?
And that's the thing about Brighton. They can really. I was afraid of this game because they've just got pace that can kill you, you know. And we, we especially without Branthwaite, we're struggling, aren't we, at the back with the mobility? I think definitely.
Yeah.
I think throwing O'Brien in probably would have been a risk as well. But I suppose people are more willing to give O'Brien a chance because Keane has had chances. I suppose that is the point. But then on the other hand, I see the other argument that Keane has got, you know, a lot of experience.
Take it as well, you know, like when the crowd, you know, Goodison, we all know as soon as it starts going against you, you know, it can be a fucking horrible place. And would you rather have someone on their debut being thrown into that or someone who...
Yeah.
Seen it and, you know, been through all these fucking awful times with Everton and knows what people think of him, but is experienced enough and professional enough to just to get on with the job and accept that as part of it. You know, you don't need to be throwing it's into that, you know.
And also, I see the argument, but on the other hand, it's like him and Tarkowski just seems like a bit too, I don't know, it just doesn't work as a partnership, I don't think, but, you know. That's not his fault. You know. That's not either of the player's fault. That's the that's going back to recruitment again, you know. So
we're not putting Jake O'Brien in that position with Tarkowski. You know, he's got a bit of pace, O'Brien, but he's not like massively rapid. You know, it would have been basically the same kind of stuff. You know, he is quicker over those sort of 10 yards than Ian and Tarkowski, but you know, it wouldn't have changed much in terms of setup and what he could have got out of that back four having O'Brien.
Do you know another problem, I think, as well, is our midfield setup now? Because we've got Garner and Iribunum. And to me, Iribunum looks more like an eight. And then you've got Garner, who likes pushing, you know what I mean, pressing people. So basically, are we going to be vacating that six area? Do you know what I mean? That is my kind of concern without James Garner, you know, or somebody else, a six to come in. And that's probably why we've looked at midfielders. I think we need somebody who's going to be sort of in front of the back four, don't we?
Yeah, that's okay. I think, you know, we've never quite found that number six, and it's not clear because Iribunum's at a very early stage of his career if he's quite a six or an eight. He seems to prefer, you know, bringing the ball out in those midfield areas and, you know, bombing on a little bit more. And as you say, Idrissa kind of likes to do the same thing as well. But, you know, he should be disciplined enough to be taken on that role. And just sitting a bit deeper, you know, with his experience and his legs going as well. He shouldn't be covering too much ground. He should be the one sitting in. And I think, you know, that's probably going to be the case. If we're not able to bring in someone else in midfield until Garner comes back, then Idrissa is probably the one that's going to have to do that job, with maybe Decore dropping deeper once the likes of Ndiaye start getting more game time. But
I think injuries have hammered us, really, haven't they? I mean, really, you're taking out Branthwaite, James Garner there. Those are two players who play, you know, their first names on the, you know, they're on the sheet, aren't they? As soon as they're. I mean, I would even be interested to see, maybe at times, when James Garner is back, James Garner, and then you have Iribunum in front of them, sort of pressing almost. I don't know. But anyway, that's another discussion for another time. But yeah. And then, obviously, the sending off, I mean, again, it's one of them, isn't it? It's a professional foul. He had to do something.
Another stupid individual error, you know, dallying on the ball.
Stupid.
Let yourself get robbed and then...
But then he just has not got the speed to combat that, has he? So some people have said, in a way, maybe you should just, like, not drag him down. But then that's just a defender's instinct, isn't it, you know?
As soon as someone's ahead of you, you know, it's instinct to sort of grab out at them. And it probably wasn't even a professional foul in terms of, I'm going to take a red card here. It was just instinct, you know, you've been robbed and you panic, even at that stage of your career. And then once you're down to 10, it's damage limitation, really, against teams like Brighton.
The thing is, though, I do feel like that right back situation has been kicked down the road, you know, like Can has been kicked down the road for many years now, you know. I mean, we had Coleman there and then we brought Patterson in as supposedly the future, but really he's just had injuries, hasn't he, throughout really. And he hasn't been able to get a run of games going. He hasn't been able to convince people that he's good enough defensively, I don't think.
Yes, no, but
And I suppose maybe he got, might have got out a chance this season, but he still had a hamstring injury, didn't he, from the end of last season. So again, we haven't been able to see him either. So I just feel like there needed to be more. I understand, but it's probably, again, all goes back to finances, doesn't it? And there probably was a discussion of, can we get by if we extend Coleman and Young and we have Patterson there? Do you know what I mean? In the right back area. But to me, I just don't think, I think Coleman is injury prone, unfortunately, and so is Patterson. And then, so you end up with Young starting, to be honest. And to me, I think we should have made a real decision on that area. And maybe we, and it might have been hard, but we might have, I don't know, let Seamus go.
But I mean, Seamus has been kept around on, you know, probably very, very low wages. I don't think that's an issue in terms of, you know, allowing us to expenditure. And he's, you know, around as club captain, you know, to, for his motivational and all that, you know. I don't think that's going to have had any bearing on our ability to recruit a right back. The issue there is, as you say, the broader financial restrictions, and it's a case of what can you prioritise now in the short term versus, you know, what we need in the long term to build available, who can you get, who's available at what kind of price, and if someone becomes available, I'm sure we'll go for them. But I think the thinking at the club was that once Patterson was fit, I mean, it looks as though he's been getting a bit of the dice treatment in pre-season. You know, he's bulked up. You know, he looks like he's put on a bit of a body strength. So he's clearly, you know, I'm guessing, but it seems like the thinking is that Dyche is going to work with him and on him and try and mould him a little bit more. But then he's had this injury setback. But that was probably the plan, is that he is going to be the first choice with then Young or Coleman just sort of backing him up when needed. And then Garner also probably being an option at right back. But again, you know, best laid plans. He's also picked up an injury. You know, he may well have started at right back on Saturday. Who knows if he'd been fit, or he may have started in midfield and Tim being on the bench. But it's, I think they're looking at what's available in each position, what their options are and what the cover is. And I think they've obviously decided that right back is one where maybe that they haven't got the money to go out and spend for what they need. The hand may have been forced now with Young's sending off and Coleman getting injured again and Patterson still struggling. You know, they may have to dip into the market, the loan market potentially. And also at left back as well, as we've said, someone who can play both sides would be ideal just as cover. But, you know, we're limited. There's only so much we can. We've done very well this summer, far better than I was anticipating, but we can't do it all. Although the window's not closed yet, so, you know, we've got nearly 2 weeks, so maybe there'll be some movement. Let's hope there is. I think, we, you know, we both agree right back is an area we need to get someone in, if possible. But it's all about what can be done in the market.
Yeah, and what becomes available. I heard the bobble the other day saying that we talked to Chelsea about any of their 40-odd players that may be available on loan, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody like, I mean, I don't know if we can afford him, but somebody like Chalabar, he can play everywhere, can't he? Somebody like him would be ideal. I don't know if we can afford him, but.
Probably not. Just his wages alone might be.
And he can play fullbacks, he can play centre half, he can play midfield, you know.
Yeah.
We're probably looking at somebody like that, aren't we? There was a guy from Germany we were linked with. I may just be literally, we asked the question, but he looked like he played right midfield, right back, right wing, centre mid. I forget his name now. Was it Atimbi?
Yeah, the one you talk about.
Yeah, Atimbi or something like that. Anyway, but I might just be another agent. There's been a lot of agent rumours as well, haven't there? I mean, I just literally don't even pay attention to them now. Like the, you know, Roque Junior one from Barcelona and stuff like that. You know,
it was just ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, yeah,
50 million. It's like, where are we getting the 50 million from, then, lads?
Yeah, as if.
Unless we're selling somebody, but I don't think we're selling anybody big, to be honest.
No, well, we haven't really got any big assets to go. I mean, the likely ones going out, which may generate some funds. I think Mopay will go in some form or other, option not to Marseille after their ridiculous loan with option to buy.
We're just holding out for a bit of a fee, aren't we, I think?
Yeah, even just like 3 to 5 million
yeah.
will give some wiggle room for a loan fee or something like that, free up the wages. Virginia maybe will go out for a couple of million or so now we've got Begovic back on
come back
up, yeah.
That's funny, isn't it? He was released, and then he goes out for a season, then comes back again.
Contract last time, but you said
that's
he,
right.
You know, QPR said he'd be first choice, so he said he wanted to be first choice rather than sit on the bench, which is fair enough. But, you know, he only had a one-year contract there, and he hasn't signed an extension with them, so he's available, and he's ideal backup.
Yeah, for sure.
The other one that, you know, we would all have been desperate to see out, but given the injury situation or slash suspension situation, Holgate may end up sticking around.
Yeah, depends.
Just as cover. I mean, if we get any kind of offer, I think we'll probably take our chances without him as cover. He'll have to play on Saturday, I'm sure, but any kind of offer for him will probably be tearing anyone's arm off, won't we, just to get him out the door.
Yeah, there was mention of Ajax this morning, wasn't there?
Really, Ajax?
Yeah, I know.
Fucking hell.
On loan, I know.
Failing upwards again.
I don't know if that's just, again, you just, to be honest, most of it's nonsense, isn't it? All of these rumours, most of them are nonsense.
Yeah. No, might be his agents trying to generate a bit of interest, but, you know, I hope so.
You never know. They like an English player, don't they? These days.
Yeah, normally good ones, though, but, you know, I think people need to keep things in perspective. It's one game. It was a shit way to start, but we traditionally are slow starters. You know, under Moyes, we were usually slow starters. And I think people need to keep things both in perspective, both in terms of it being one game and also drop this whole, oh, it's our last season at Goodison. We deserve better. Yeah, you know, people need to fucking grow
to
up
honest,
that one. That doesn't change anything about the reality of where our squad is.
I think
is.
We need to forget about that until, like, you know, the last few months, to be honest, of the season, don't we, I think?
Well, in terms of, like, what happens on the pitch altogether, because
yeah.
fucking irrelevant, you know.
It is a bit.
Sounding like entitled, spoiled fucking children. Oh, it's our last season, so we deserve to be playing scintillating football. Fucking grow up, man. This is where we are as a team. It was a shit start to the season. We will improve. You know, if we're still like this where we are in 10 games, then I'll start to worry. But the fact that it's the last season at Goodison has no bearing on where our squad is, and the fact that we brought in a couple of hopefully, you know, more creative and quicker players in Lindstrom and Dye, you know, that will change things. But, you know, we haven't signed Kylian Mbappe here. You know, people are talking about bringing in Dye on us, so he's going to completely change the whole way.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure on him.
He's an exciting player. I'm really glad we signed him. He's the kind of player we need, but he's not, you know, Kylian Mbappe. He's Illiman Ndiaye, who's played in the Championship and the French League for the vast majority of his career so far. He'll have to be, you know, given a bit of time, not just by the manager, but by the fans.
No, and I think there is a lack of realism about, you know, where we are as a financial situation, where we are, you know, as a squad, and where we are just in the league and the world, you know, generally. But I suppose once Young went off, that was basically game over, because I read a stat, like, and I'm not necessarily blaming anyone for this, but that we haven't come back from behind since that Crystal Palace game at home, which is pretty, yeah. So
yeah.
Basically, if we go behind, we're in trouble, aren't we?
Yeah, certainly once we go like two down in a game.
Yeah.
We're probably,
and 10 men, game over. Game
especially
over.
Against a team like Brighton, who can keep the ball so well. So, you know, I said before, it's that damage limitation once you're down to 10 and a couple of goals behind against a team like that. You just want to keep it below like 4 or 5.
Yeah, it was game over. To be honest, it was one of those games like everything went wrong, didn't it? Everything went wrong. That's what it felt like.
I don't know if everything went wrong.
Okay, not everything, but like after half an hour, it just seemed to be like,
I think we were in it up until the second.
Falling apart a little bit after the first half.
The second goal killed it, but I think up until then we were very much in contention. We started the second half brightly, and then, you know, give the second goal away. One moment of individual madness, and then the sending off, and the game's completely finished. But I don't think we were as bad as some people are making out. You know, there were lots of positive signs, I thought.
Brighton just had more cutting edge than us. That was my fear from the beginning, you know. But I suppose that is an issue we need to, you know, we have a lot of chances, or we put pressure on, but we struggle to. And again, this goes back to the squad, doesn't it, and the situation we're in. We struggle to take our chances. If we don't take our chances, then we're you know, against a team like Brighton who can take their chances, then we're in trouble, aren't we, really?
Yeah, that element of it was a little bit groundhog day, you know, hitting the post, goal disallowed, and then Harrison drawing a really good save out of the keeper all in the first.
And then the penalty as well, it was disallowed.
Yeah, which at first I said it wasn't a penalty, but like when I saw it again, a match of the day, it would have been a soft one, but I think maybe it was. And if it'd been the other way around, you know, it probably would have been given without wanting to sound like a typical conspiracy theorist they're all out to get us, you know. I think maybe it should have been given, or the referee at least given the chance to watch it on the VAR without them just saying to overrule it.
Yeah, I think before VAR, that would never have been overturned, even though it was soft.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's a 1-0 as well.
That's what I mean when I say everything went wrong. I'm not really necessarily saying about the performances stuff. I mean, just like, you know, just these different things that conspired against us, didn't they? And on the day, it seemed like everything that we, you know, goal disallowed, man sent off, you know, penalty we should, you know, that probably should have been given. And, you know, there's just a lot of things, a lot of different things. And then the injuries we've got, you know, it's just a lot of different factors towards it, isn't there? I mean, you would say but like you said, we don't start fast anyway in any season, really. But, I still maintain, and this probably goes back way before Dyche, that our pre-seasons aren't good enough. And I'm not saying that that's the only reason you start slow, but I just don't
in terms of the results.
Yeah, I don't think the standard of teams we play are big enough. I don't think I know it's pre-season, and ultimately it's not the same as the season, but when you look at other teams in the Premier League and the teams they play and the standard they're playing, we're playing Preston and we're playing Coventry and we're playing.
Yeah, but you look at those
Sligo,
you know, teams going to America and Australia and you know the Far East and stuff. You know they may be playing big names, but there's like lots of travel involved.
Yeah,
and more, you know, potential for picking up even more injuries with that kind of those quick turnarounds, playing in really, you know, hot conditions a lot of the time, stuff like that. And you know, those are commercial decisions. That teams aren't doing that because they think it's a better preparation. They're doing it because, you know, the sort of executive corporate side of the clubs are deciding that they need to take part in these tournaments to generate money and interest.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think we should be going all around the world. And like you said, it is more about a commercial decision in those cases often, like an American tour, which we have done before. But I just think I'm okay with the, you know, staying local or whatever. I just think the standard of opposition and maybe the amount of games. I mean, because really, we had Sligo, and we had four or five friendlies and one behind closed doors. It doesn't seem like enough. But that's just my opinion, and I think I've always had that opinion that the only time I remember us having a really good pre-season was that time under Martinez. When we put, again, where the tournament was or whatever, it doesn't matter. We were playing Inter Milan, we were playing Real Madrid or whatever we were playing. We were playing some good team. I think we played Chelsea, something like that. We were a good tournament, and then we had a good season. I'm not saying it's the only reason. We brought in a lot of good players that season as well, but I do think it makes a difference. I think it makes a difference, but. I'm not a football coach.
One of Martinez. I mean, the only reason we ended up in that tournament was that someone dropped out at the last minute. He got like an emergency invite. But I mean, we seem to play a decent amount of games. You know, we played Roma at home and played quite against them.
You wouldn't even count Sligo as a friendly, wasn't it? And then you got the behind closed doors one. That's not really a proper friendly either. So then you're left with Coventry, Preston, and the other one that we'd had. I just don't know. I don't think it's enough myself. But then that's maybe Dyche's philosophy is to maybe get the team fit rather than play loads of friendlies. I don't know.
It's also, you know, what's available and what you can schedule. You know, it's harder to arrange, like, higher calibre ones because they've all got their own, you know, their own schedules, and some of them are getting invited to these ridiculous pre-season tournaments. I just, you know, pre-season's just about fitness, which, you know, you could argue that maybe we didn't look as fit as we should have. There was one criticism that I think maybe was valid, that we didn't look quite sharp physically.
Yeah,
but
I mean, look at our back four. We had Young in there, Tarkowski, who had an injury, and he only played a couple of pre-season. He didn't look particularly sharp. Then you had Keane, who just had a week off for injury as well. And then Mykolenko didn't look pretty. He didn't have many preseason games either. So what I'm trying to say is, it's not so much like how many you play, maybe as many minutes as the players get, isn't it? I guess just to get up to like match. It's match fitness as well, isn't it? Often. I mean, to be honest, the season doesn't really start until, let's be honest, like properly start until the window's closed.
Yeah.
So you've got your squad and everyone's fit, really, does it? Let's be honest.
For us, you know who's staying. Yeah.
For us especially, because we're where we are as a club, you know. And that does have an impact.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we've covered the main things. I mean, obviously the transfer window, we'll know a little bit more in the next sort of 10 days or so, but I think we will be involved in something. There'll be some activity that, you know, the couple of outgoings we've been talking about, and then, you know, we've just got to hope we can use those two loans that we've got remaining, you know, a fullback and either a midfielder or possibly an attacker. I mean, I don't think Calvert-Lewin's going anywhere this window. As I've said before, I think, you know, we've accepted that he's probably going to go for nothing in the summer and that we can't really find an adequate replacement unless we get like an irresistible offer in for him and he agitates for a move and we can line something up. But I just don't see any of those things happening at the moment.
Apparently Brozier was the one where he would have come, so that does signal that literally there's no, and apparently there's been no interest in Calvert-Lewin at all.
Yeah.
So really, he just needs to get his head down. He just needs to get his head down, and the fans need to just get behind him, I think, to be honest. I know that sounds glib, but ultimately, at the end of the day, once the window's closed, he's our player for the next season. We're not going to sell him in January. No chance.
No.
So just get behind him for the season. I think hopefully when the window's shut and he's still there, then at least we know he'll just get behind. Yeah, we know he's here for the season. Well, I think it has unsettled him as well, and it would, because you don't know where you're coming or going, do you?
So, yeah, absolutely.
I think it does affect him, the fact that he doesn't know if he's staying for the season even.
Yeah, once you know what the situation is, you know, for better or worse, you know, you can just focus on that. And, you know, if he wants to just use us to put himself in the window, then that's fine by me. You know, if we benefit from that and he gets us, you know, 10, 12 goals this season or whatever and ends a big move somewhere, then fine. You know, everyone benefits then. I know it's shit to lose him for nothing, but I think I would probably still rather that than have him go and not be able to bring in an adequate replacement. If he goes and we can replace him adequately, fine, but I just don't think that's likely. So
we've struggled to bring in a second striker for years, have we?
Yeah,
never mind the first choice. I mean, the litany of strikers we've had, you've sort of failed or, you know, haven't been up to standard. It's just like unbelievable, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you look at the striker market, and even somebody like Tony, who scored a lot more goals in his time, is struggling to get a club. He's going to Saudi, it looks like.
Is he? Fucking hell.
Yeah, so it just shows you that, like, you know, the market just doesn't seem to be there for, like, that kind of striker anymore at the moment.
Clubs haven't got the money, have they, you know, to spend quite as much, and strikers come with at a premium.
The one that was mentioned was United, but again, I don't see it.
For Calvert-Lewin?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they're prioritised. They've brought in that other lad, haven't they?
Xerxes.
Yeah. So I don't see them coming back in for
him. And they got Rashford, who could play up front, or Fernandes.
Yeah, and Hoyland's there already.
Oh, so he'd just be going there, just sit on the bench. What's the point of that? Might as well just stay at us and just play every week.
Be first choice, at least for this season, and then see.
Put himself in the shop window, like you said.
Yeah, and then we benefit from that.
Yeah, so in terms of incomings, like you said, I suppose the question people ask is about pace. I mean, I know Lindstrom looks quite swift, but that is the one thing I don't think. And again, like you said to me, it's like that costs. But I do think you can do things creatively to bring in pace if you really want to.
Well, everyone wants to, but and yeah, then they would.
I don't know, there's a bit of snobbery with our recruitment sometimes, I feel like. Like, we've been looking at Nonto for like a year, over a year, 2 years, I don't know. I forget, it's so long now. But he's 25 million or nearly 30 million. But we don't look at these, like, players that Brighton pick up from, like, you know, other leagues. It's partly because we don't have the money to take the risk. I get that. But I feel like sometimes we could take a little punt on somebody who's, like, a bit cheaper from a different league who we could get, I don't know, from France or Germany, who's got a bit of pace about them. We make it look so hard, that's what I'm trying to say. And our recruitment, and I get it's because of the money. And I get it's because we can only put so much down and stuff. But I do think there are opportunities out there where we could pick up players for like reasonable amounts. But always looking at the posh signing. We're like, oh yeah, good Nonto because he's played in England. It's like, well, yeah, and, but you know, he's expensive. We can't afford him. He's,
well, that's why we've, you know, we've,
it's snobbery. There's a snobbery with our recruitment in some ways, I feel like. Anyway, that's my rant.
I don't think it is a snobbery. I mean, we've been setting up these networks in South America over the last year or so, you know, yeah. But these things take time to bear through. You know, Brighton have had that established for a long time.
Yeah.
The relationships with people, which is why the sort of pathway from them spotting someone to them coming to Brighton is a lot smoother because they've got that established network that they've had there for a good few years. They bring them in very cheap. They go on loan to their other club. Can't even remember who it is now, but the club in Belgium.
Yeah.
And then when they're ready to come over to Brighton, we haven't yet got that pathway set up. You know, Thelwell has set things up, which will bear fruit further down the line. But for the time being, we don't have those options and we're not the first choice of these players. You know, the networks aren't quite there. So it will take time for that to...
No, I do get that. And also our budget is limited where we can't risk a lot. I get that. And that's probably why we went for Lindstrom because he is on loan, you know. So I get all that. I just think you can still bring in pace, even if you haven't got loads of money.
I mean, players you've got pace. You know.
There's players you've got pace. I know, no, I'm not just saying it's everything, but it's something we lack, isn't it?
So we have brought in two players with a bit more pace than we had. Yeah, you know, it has been an issue for ages, you know, under various managers. But now we've brought in two players who have some pace and a bit more creativity. You know, we are trying to address that. There's only so much you can do, but there's two clear examples for the first team, plus the others that we're recruiting for the academy as well, who down the line hopefully will find a way into the first team as well.
The only reason I'm bringing it up, and I'm not saying just pace on its own is enough. Of course it is, and you want somebody you can produce as well at the end of that pace. But it would make such a difference in terms of when we're counter-attacking. Just having that one player who's got explosive pace, take you up the pitch, does make a difference, you know? And I get why we've struggled, but I do feel like we're always looking for like the player who's got a bit of a name about them, if that makes sense, sometimes. When we go for the, like, because a few years ago we went for Saar as well. But I don't know what you mean. We need to see those two before we really judge anyway, don't we? So,
yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. But there's another argument as well. That not necessarily my argument, but I've seen it online. People saying, oh, is the recruitment joined up? Because if Dyche isn't going to start these new players, why are we spending money on O'Brien when we could have got a winger, blah, blah, forward, you know?
People who were saying that we should never see Michael Keane and Mason Holgate in an Everton shirt again, and then they're saying we shouldn't have signed this promising young centre back. You know, for fuck all, by the way, you know, we've got an initial outlay of like a couple of million for him. You know, we haven't gone and spent 18 million to the initial.
Yeah, and I disagree with that. I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's like apples and oranges. It's like comparing apples and oranges, isn't it, really? Because Leeds wanted 15 million up front. That's a whole different ball game to what Leon wanted. And also, we did need a third centre back because, you know, the same people that, like you said, that complained about Michael Keane, you know, they didn't want us to buy O'Brien as well. So it's like, yeah. Well, what did you want then? So I don't totally buy into the argument, but I do think there is a question about, is the recruitment joined up sometimes? But then I suppose on the other hand, it's like, it's just Dyche. He doesn't believe they're ready to go in the team. And like you said, that sometimes just chucking someone in the team and them not performing and then everyone getting on their back isn't exactly good either. So I think he's wise not to just throw them all in. I suppose the question some people might say is like, we're 2-0 down on the weekend and he still waits until 60 minutes to bring and die on. He is quite slow with his subs. That's what I would say. But then a lot of managers are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've got mixed feelings on that late subs one with him. I think that's one of the valid, not criticisms, but questions around him, whether he changes things quickly enough. But, you know, often these things happen while you're sort of planning your changes. You know, you're planning to bring in Dion and then suddenly one of your more reliable players gives the ball away and you're 2-0 down rather than 1-0 down, you know, when you're looking at making your changes, which I think they were doing. You know, they were warming up and then we suddenly were 2-0 down. And then we go 3-0 down and down to 10 men, and he's got to play him out of position as a sort of makeshift right wing back come right winger, because we were just trying to limit the space they had down the wings because we'd lost our right back. But I think, you know, time will tell. Now he's got options on the bench or to start. Time will tell whether he utilises it more to people's liking, more sort of proactively, more quickly. We'll have to sort of wait the next few games or so when they're both definitely available and fit and ready, whether it changes his approach to games, in-game management.
Yeah, I suppose going back to the previous question as well, a lot of people look at Dan Juma and they go, oh, you know, he doesn't trust certain players and he won't play them and blah, blah.
Dan Juma, I suppose, was shit. He was,
yeah, Dan Juma didn't do enough, did he, Dan Juma? Really?
Just think of it, you know, he's not a Dyche-type player or whatever, yeah. You know. When people say, oh, you know, he doesn't like fast, creative players. Of course, every manager likes fast, creative players. People used to say the same about Moyes as well, that he didn't like flair players. Every manager, I guarantee you, loves flair players as long as they'll actually approach the game with a proper attitude and
work
hard as well. Yeah. You know, is it a negative thing to expect your players to work hard? I don't see how that has been turned into a negative about a manager.
You know, I agree.
Dyche always says about maximum effort being the minimum requirements. That's absolutely fucking spot on. If a player's not willing to work hard, then they shouldn't be on the fucking pitch, you know. Unless they're Messi or Maradona, you can't indulge people who don't work hard. Unless they're absolute game changers who can win you a game single-handed, then you might indulge them and build a team around them. But we certainly haven't got anyone even close to that. And Dan Juma most certainly wasn't anywhere near that.
I suppose the way Dyche sets us up, though, is the two wingers are seen as they're working back. Their contribution going back the other way is just as important as whatever they're doing going forward, which I understand because our setup is to be hard to beat, isn't it? It is to grind out results. But I suppose that, again, it goes back to the original frustration that some people have where they just want a bit more than that. But unfortunately, the position we're in, probably we can't. You know, the only thing I would say is sometimes I do feel like McNeil, it just plays regardless. I do feel like that. And I get why, because he's trusted. And like you said, he has been good for us. And he does. And he is a threat on set pieces. And he's a threat with his left foot. And he works really hard. Again, that word. But I do think sometimes maybe Harrison could be tried on the left, because he is a left winger originally, isn't he? It's all one of those, isn't it? It's the beginning of the season. Let's see what happens when everyone's up to speed. And then we can judge what's going on about 10 games in, I think, to be honest.
My sort of main thing is that people do just need both perspective and a bit of a reality check on what they should be entitled to. You know, we'll have shit games where we get battered. That's just the kind of club we are. Most clubs have that. And if you don't want to occasionally see your team get battered, you know, go and support Man City or Real Madrid, because that's just part of football at most, well, all levels, except a few very, you know, exceptional teams who win most of the time. But Everton are unlikely to ever be that. And if you don't like seeing your team get battered from time to time, then yeah, maybe Everton aren't the team for you, or football's not the sport for you. But we'll have days like that, and we'll have days where we give other teams a kick in as well. And hopefully we'll have more of the latter than the former. But I just think people need to calm down after just one game. Mental health and everything, and it's not good for the team when they see that negativity. I know it's easy to get pissed off when your team's playing that badly and they were entitled to leave early and all that, but everyone just needs to calm down. If we're still in the same situation in like 6 or 7 weeks, I might start to worry myself. But it's one game. Let's see what happens over the next few weeks once the window's closed, once we've got everyone in that we're able to bring in, and once everyone's fit, then let's see what happens.
No, and last season kind of proves it in a way, doesn't it? In a way that we had a bad start, but then eventually we did get, you know, up to speed and we started picking up good results, you know. So
yeah,
there is a bit of perspective needed. I think a lot of it's like a post-traumatic stress disorder, you know. I'm just like realist, you know. I see some of the good things he's done, and I also think that at times he can be criticised, like any manager, but then so can the players.
Criticism. Absolutely.
But then I think the biggest criticism of all is Mashiri for the mess we're in, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's the root of it all.
I don't even want to think about that. Take over stuff. Yeah, let's wrap up for this week, and then so we'll come back once the window's closed and see where we are.
Cool.
Okay.
Up the toffees.
Up the fucking toffees.